Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, this is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech, and it is a perfectly lovely day. Oh, look, a woman with a headscarf. Should we talk to her? Why not give it a go, shall we? Let's start the day out wrong. Excuse me. Hey, while you're walking to your building, could I ask you a question on the radio?
Sure.
Okay, what country are you from?
I was born in the United States, but my parents are from Lebanon.
From Lebanon, which,
yes.
Okay, because I've got to tell you, you've got a headscarf on. Would that
yes.
be called a hijab?
Yes, it is.
And yet you've got blue jeans on.
Yes.
Okay, when I think Islam, help me, what's going on?
I mean, it's just a lifestyle. I mean, we just have to be modest, but it doesn't mean, you know, we can't live the way Americans do. We're not oppressed. We still have our freedoms, our rights. So, I mean, I'm free to wear whatever I want as long as it's modest.
How come we don't see this, for instance, in Saudi Arabia? Normally, if somebody's wearing the headgear, it's usually the full body covering. Are you considered a liberal Muslim, or is this acceptable worldwide from Islam?
This is acceptable worldwide, not just here. But, for instance, in the Saudi Arabia, the government tends to follow strictly. And, I mean, each person has their own interpretation of what Islamic law really wants its followers to adhere by, but each country is different. But Saudi Arabia tends to be a little bit more extreme than the rest of the world.
Okay, tell me, why should I become a Muslim? What would you give me as a reason to become a part of your religion?
Well, it's a very fair religion. It just wants the best for the people, and it might be strict in some aspects, but it's only for the best, and you know, it's very just, it's very fair to everyone. It wants everyone to follow the straight path of religion in order to, like, live the best life possible for the hereafter.
So, to live the best, in order to go to the life hereafter, I have to live a good life now.
Exactly.
How good of a life do I need to live? I'm kind of curious.
You just have to, you know, be righteous and, you know, follow the path.
Yikes, I have to be righteous?
Yes.
I'm in trouble.
Well, isn't that the same for every religion? Or does, you know, some religions, you know, accept, you know, people to do wrong?
I mean, Christianity is different. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for the others, mm-hmm. but I think Christianity is different mm-hmm. than that.
But righteous also means if you do wrong, you can better yourself. I mean, everyone makes mistakes, and that's how you become a better person. But once you make that mistake, you always learn from your mistakes, and you move on, you know, to become a better person.
Not trying to be semantical, but if I do bad things, mm-hmm. wouldn't that make me not righteous?
Well, if you fix your wrongs afterwards, or you learn from your mistakes, that could still be considered righteous.
So, I'm a Christian. If mm-hmm. I die, according to Islam, mm-hmm. what's going to happen to me?
Well, I mean, no one knows for sure. Each person is judged depending on how they live their lives.
So, how righteous they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if a Christian lives their life, you know, according to, you know, the path of God in the right way, I mean, Islam and Christianity are not that much different. So, in the end, you know, like, it just depends on how you're judged.
Okay.
And each person is just depending on, you know, what they do in their lives. And nobody else is there to judge except God.
Okay, first question. How are you doing? Are you righteous right now?
I do make a lot of mistakes on a daily basis.
Uh-oh.
And when I mean righteous, I don't mean you have to live a perfect life. I mean, we follow the path that the Prophet, you know, laid out for us. And we're mm-hmm. just supposed to, you know, to our best, we're just supposed to follow that path. And, you know, I mean, we are going to be go astray, but we're just supposed to, you know, try our best to follow and learn from our mistakes.
Do you think right now you'd mm-hmm. be fit for heaven?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
See, there it is. Then that would be a big difference between Islam and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The word righteous is important, we believe, because mm-hmm. we believe something different about Jesus. We
mm-hmm.
believe that he's actually God himself.
Yeah.
And that his righteousness can be credited to our account so we can be seen as righteous,
mm-hmm.
so we can be acceptable to God based on what he's done, because
mm-hmm.
all we've done is sinned. So that's a major difference.
Right.
Christianity would be about grace and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What you're describing sounds like I got to work pretty hard and perfect myself.
Well, you don't have to perfect yourself. You just have to live your best. And, I mean, each person does their best in life. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. We have a perfect role model, which is the Prophet. But, you don't, I mean, there is no perfect human being. But we just have to try our best to live our lives as close to the way he did. Hmm. And that's how Muslims are.
That's interesting, because as we part company here in New Scoot, if I died right now, even though I know that I've sinned, I know that I'd go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me, because he was perfectly righteous so that I could have my sins forgiven, so that he gets credit for me going to heaven and I don't. That's pretty different. Hey, yeah, thanks for the chat. That was very interesting. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Okay. Huge difference between the two. It's Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. Oh, there's another moment with the... Excuse me. Could I ask you a question on the radio? I was just talking to a woman from America, but her parents, I think, are from Lebanon or from Libya. And she was wearing a headscarf, but she wasn't wearing the black like you are right now. Which one is the right way for an Islamic woman to dress?
Actually, a Muslim woman is supposed to dress up conservatively. Basically, this is actually traditional. It's not religious. So it basically is to protect yourself more. Yeah, basically you're supposed to be wearing loose clothing. It doesn't have to be, this is called an abaya. You don't have to wear this, but just for like extra, if you're extra conservative or something. Then.
And when you said for your protection, what did you mean by that?
Basically, because there's an emphasis on modesty.
So men looking at you inappropriately.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you see a woman who was, she was wearing the headscarf like you are, but she was wearing tight-fitting clothing, is she wrong to dress like that?
Actually, wearing the headscarf does not mean that you can wear anything on, like underneath. You know, you're supposed to be wearing loose clothing because that's the whole point. It doesn't like, you're not supposed to dress tightly because it defeats the purpose, basically, of wearing a headscarf.
Now, there would be some people in America who would say, this seems oppressive to women. How do you respond to that?
I don't think it oppresses women. It actually, we as Muslims, we feel that it liberates women.
How?
Because it stops them from being objectified by other people. People don't look at your looks and your beauty. They look at how you are inside, inner beauty and your mind, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't wear something like this, let's say that you decided, I'm not going to follow the rules, what's the response of Islam?
Actually, it is mandatory. It says in the Quran, the holy book, that you're supposed to wear it. But if you're not, then like we're like nobody to judge other people. That's God's job, basically. So we can't really say anything to them, but it is mandatory in Islam to wear it.
Okay. Now, I asked that young lady if she would tell me one reason why I should convert to Islam. Can you give me one really good reason to become a Muslim?
If you read the Quran, then all the answers are there. You know, there's nothing contradictory in the book. And
okay, let me tell you what my biggest concern in life is. I've got this bad feeling when I die, it is not going to go well for me. I have done bad things. Can Islam help me?
If you convert to Islam, then all your previous sins will be washed.
Really? Yeah. How does that work? I'm very intrigued.
Well, God is like very forgiving and merciful. So basically when you convert to Islam, then he forgets all the other like stuff which you did before because it's a new beginning.
Okay. So a couple of questions. One would be, if a judge forgives somebody's past, let's say a criminal was standing before a judge, and the criminal said, "Judge, I've turned over a new leaf." Can the judge just forgive his past crimes? Is that just?
No, it's not like that exactly. But when you convert to Islam, then you basically didn't know a lot of stuff, which was like, you know, the rules in Islam. And when you convert to Islam, then you know, then you're held accountable for everything.
So if I become a Muslim, my past forgiven, what if I don't keep the rules after becoming a Muslim? Then what happens?
Yeah, then you're held accountable for it.
And so do I have to be perfect in keeping the rules before I die?
You have to try your best. It's the effort that counts, it's the intention. But we all make mistakes, and you can always ask for forgiveness and repent and...
Help me out, because I happen to be a Christian, and we believe in repentance and that God can forgive our sins because Jesus, we believe he's God. I know you don't, but we do, because he died on a cross for us, taking the punishment we deserve. That's how God can justly forgive our sins, because our fine has been paid by Jesus. How does the fine get paid in Islam?
We don't think that anyone else can be held accountable for what we have done.
So you're held accountable for yourself.
Yeah.
So do, as a Muslim now, if you died right now, have you kept all the rules? Are you secure that you're going to go to heaven?
Well, we've tried our best, basically. We can never tell if we're going to heaven or hell. That's like only God knows that.
So you don't know for sure?
Yeah, we don't know for sure.
Oh, that's interesting.
But we just have to keep trying, yeah.
All right. That's kind of a bummer, because, you know, in Christianity, we believe that we know that we're going to go to heaven, mm-hmm. because Jesus did it all
well,
for us.
Well, basically, we do know that eventually, like, we think that all Muslims are going to go to heaven. But if you have sinned, like, your whole life on something, and then you will have to, like, pay for it by, like, cleansing yourself.
So all Muslims eventually go to heaven. What about, for instance, Jews and Christians? What's going to happen to them for eternity?
I'm not really sure what's going to happen to them.
Okay.
But,
all right. Fair enough. Hey, thank you very much. Pleasure to meet
you.
You can't shake hands. Righto. That other woman did. Is that forbidden also?
It is forbidden because there's, like, yeah, again, the modesty thing.
Right.
But that's my husband, if you want to.
Oh, no. Very cool. Hello. Oh, hello, sir. Nice to meet you. Your wife has been very helpful. I've been asking her questions about Islam.
Oh.
All right. Excellent. We are at Georgia Tech. We are talking with, what's your name? First name?
Sir.
And your name is?
Amil.
And Amil is going to explain to me about the afterlife, where do Muslims go, where do Christians go, where do Jews go. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. Lamentations is a book of poems written by Jeremiah after the fall of Jerusalem. They are marked by weeping, woes, and affliction. But even in sorrow, Jeremiah praises God. He proclaims God's justice, cries out to God for mercy, and confesses his faith in God. Lamentations teaches us a godly way to express sorrow and grow in the midst of loss. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sahur and Amil. How did I do it? Did that right?
Not bad, yeah.
I probably butchered it. We are at Georgia Tech. It's Wretched Radio. And we were chatting with Amil. I said that right, Ryan?
Amil.
Accent on the first syllable.
Yes.
Amil, what does your name mean?
Worker.
Worker. And yours means dawn.
Yeah.
So, worker, Amil. Just quickly, sir, now tell me, I'm intrigued. You're wearing mostly kind of like American clothes, mm-hmm. and you're wearing what is your hat called?
In Arabic, I guess it's called kufi.
And why are you wearing it?
Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it was a practice of his to cover his hair. So it's out of following him and out of love for him.
Okay, for Muhammad.
Yes.
The man. Okay. And your beard, sir, growing, is there spiritual or religious significance to that?
Yes, again, the reason is both, like it was a command of Prophet Muhammad
mm-hmm.
for men to grow their beards. So.
How come?
Well, we follow it based on his command, but then there are some wisdoms behind it. So, for example, one was to be like a kind of differentiation between men and women.
Oh, so gender, not so much in Islam versus Christianity or
it's
Judaism.
It's also that. It's also that. I mean, these are just some different. One of them is also kind of identity of a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is identity of a male.
Versus female.
Yeah.
Now, where do Muslims go when they die?
So, ultimately, we believe that salvation depends on the mercy of God. So, whether one performs good deeds their whole life or bad deeds their whole life, ultimately, the power lies in the hands of God to decide their fate. But in the case of Muslims, Muslims are judged according to their actions. So their good deeds and bad deeds are weighed. And mm-hmm. then according to that, God makes a decision according to his justice and mercy.
So it sounds like if you got more good than bad, the scales tip mm-hmm. and to paradise you go? Is that how it works?
Yes.
So how do you know what the scale system... Okay, so for instance, if you told a lie, mm-hmm. I assume you've told a lie sometime in your life, mm-hmm. what do you need to do to make up for telling the lie?
You repent. You ask forgiveness from God.
I understand that, but mm-hmm. If I understood you right, mm-hmm. Amil, you said you have to, that's your name, work mm-hmm. to make the bad go away. Do you know what the work is for lying? What do you have to do to make up for that?
You have to seek forgiveness from God. If it's something which has affected like a human being,
mm-hmm.
then there may be more, more work required to fix that.
And so what is the work?
So, for example, it may be, in some case, it may require asking forgiveness from like a physical person who you've harmed.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then, like, for example, if there's something which has not affected other people, then you're just asking direct forgiveness from God. Yeah.
Help me out, because you said that, though, you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. So is your saying you're sorry, is that the work that's required? So it sounds like all you have to do is just say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. for lying, and then it's erased. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, what about something more extreme, whether it's lusting or hurt? Let's say I punched you in the nose. Mm-hmm. What would I have to do? What work would I have to do to have the scales balanced for me?
I think then in that case, part of it would be seeking forgiveness from the person and God. And then the other part of it, like in terms of the punishment on the person,
mm-hmm.
that would be handled by the court system. I mean, for example, in an Islamic country, it would be handled by the Islamic court system.
So they would decide what I need to do. Now,
well, they would decide what the punishment would be.
Oh, so there's a punishment
there
for my wrongdoing.
There could be or there could be not. I don't know. I'm just saying that then that would be decided by them.
Okay. Now, what about things, though, Amil, like thought life? Okay, let's just think, I think those guys walking by, they're jerks, they're idiots. That's a bad thought about them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I had a sexual thought about a mm-hmm. woman... that's probably not going to go to court. How do those sins get dealt with? How do I make up for those sins?
So one thing is if a person dwells upon a thought,
mm-hmm.
then the person is accountable for that. So
what do I need to do to make up for that?
You would seek forgiveness and also you would try to seek some sort of cure for that. So for example, different things are prescribed... like, for example, spending some time in remembrance of God that purifies the heart and the mind. So a person should try to do both. So one is ask for forgiveness, and the other is a person should also try to seek a cure. As for those thoughts which come like inadvertently, then the person is not held accountable for those. So,
okay, so do you know as a Muslim man that your slate is clean right now?
No.
You don't know?
No. So I mean, there's a Muslim like... we live our lives like according to hope and fear. We have hope in the forgiveness of God, but we also fear that perhaps, you know, our repentance is not accepted, or, for example, our good deeds are not accepted. So really, it's up to God in the end. But we try our best and we have hope.
One of the things that I asked your wife about was, if a criminal says that he's sorry to the judge, the judge, because he is just, must still punish the criminal. Because saying you're sorry does not pay for the fine. And in, I happen to be a Christian. In Christianity, we believe that Jesus paid the fine by dying on a cross on our behalf, taking the punishment that we deserve. He took it upon himself. That is what allows God to be just and the justifier of the unrighteous, because he died as the righteous one on our behalf. How does justice get accounted for in Islam? Who's the fine payer in Islam for your wrongdoings?
Ultimately, you are. I mean, if you haven't, let's say that if you've done something against someone, like for example, let's say you've stolen someone's money.
Okay.
Then you are accountable to give it back. Now, if you don't in this life, and let's say you haven't given the money back and you haven't sought forgiveness from the person. Like, for example, you could steal some money and the guy said, it's okay, it's fine, you can keep it. So let's say that doesn't happen and he's angry with you and everything. Then, like in the hereafter, you would be punished
for
that.
You'd be punished for that. Yeah. Okay, now let's move on to the Jews and the Christians. Ultimately, Muslims go to heaven. What about Jews and Christians? What happens to us?
If the message has reached them and they reject it, then they go to the hellfire. Now,
forever.
Yes. Now, if the... There's a debate about what the message reaching them and they're denying it is, and that's a long discussion, but that's ultimately what the...
What if I said, Amir, that I have been a good person, I haven't done those things, and when I did, when I stole, I said I was sorry, I returned the money, in fact, I gave twice as much back. Would I not be allowed into paradise?
Right, it would depend upon the belief. Belief and action. So belief is...
So it's not just works. It's
right,
also
belief. Is a prerequisite.
So I need to believe in Allah.
And the Prophet Muhammad is the last messenger.
Okay. You know, you're probably aware on this campus and everywhere these days, are you familiar with postmodernism?
Yes.
That all roads lead to God. As long as you believe that that's good enough for you, it's that's your truth. Would you as a Muslim say, no, as a Christian, you're wrong?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wrong, Jews are wrong,
right,
and we're going to hell.
Right.
Because of that, then, what is the evangelism program of Islam? Do you seek to share the message with somebody like me who's going to hell?
There are different ways of sharing. So one is through actions, through deed, and yeah, it is my responsibility. That's true.
Okay. So is it maybe too, because the way you dress is different, is that part of the evangelism program?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Has anybody, now how long have you been in America?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. Okay, so you're wearing khakis and a blue pinstripe shirt. You look like you're from Connecticut, except for the beard and your hat. Has anybody ever stopped you to say, hey, tell me about your religion?
I don't think they've asked it that way, but they probably asked, what is this? You know,
why are you dressed
like
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Has anybody ever said to you, tell me about your hope, tell me about the afterlife, because they were intrigued by the way you're dressing?
Probably not.
Probably not. All right. So there is a big difference then between Islam and Christianity, isn't there?
Right. I actually have to get going.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
You've been a gentleman. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. What you just heard really was clear, was it not? What you just heard is work righteousness. You just heard about Islam, a self-righteous, work-righteous religion that leaves poor people never knowing for sure what's going to happen to them when they die. Wasn't it interesting when we were talking to the wife who couldn't shake my hand, although the other Muslim woman can, but the woman who didn't shake my hand couldn't judge the woman who did shake my hand, because you can't judge even though she believes that what she did was wrong. Are we all tracking this? And it was a legalism system for her and her clothing and in everything she does, because ultimately, just like her husband said, they do not know what is going to happen to them when they die. Why? Because they've got to do more good than bad. And the system relies on themselves. And they know that they haven't done enough, because we all have a conscience and we know that we've sinned. And there is a huge difference between Islam and Christianity. But I will say this. The good thing that came out of that was, at least he was willing to say, as opposed to the postmoderns, that we're wrong. And I applaud that. The next time somebody says to you that Islam and Christianity are pretty much the same thing anyway, you can share with them, no, they do not. Ask a Muslim, because the Muslim will tell you that Islam and Christianity are not the same thing. Don't let them get away with that. All right, we are at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday, and until tomorrow, go serve your king.